Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today, we have national park updates and a story about chronic wasting disease. It's Monday, September 9th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Glacier National Park officials are recommending adding public shuttle services and more parking as the park deals with increasing visitation and vehicle traffic on the scenic Going to the Sun Road. The plan also calls for adding more trails and restrooms and converting some camping to parking during peak season. Comment is being taken through October 6th. Officials plan to poison off fish to help other fish species repopulate two lakes and a creek in Glacier National Park. The project in the upper reaches of Camas Creek will attempt to keep native West Slope cutthroat trout from breeding with non-native Yellowstone cutthroat trout. Park and state wildlife officials plan to use the poison to remove the non-native Yellowstone cutthroat from Lake Evangeline, Camas Lake, and Camas Creek. They will then restock the lakes and creek with West Slope cutthroat and bull trout. The area will be closed to the public through next spring. Montana officials propose to pay $3.4 million to ensure public access to a large area on the Yellowstone River. The proposed conservation easement purchased by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks would cover 15 square miles in Treasure County in southeastern Montana. State officials say that besides ensuring access, the easement would conserve habitat for big game, waterfowl, upland game birds, and non-game wildlife. The Dick Hawk Ranch Company owns the land linking the Wildlife Management Area, state lands, and the U.S. Bureau of Land Management recreational area. The Billings Gazette reports federal funds would cover 75% of the purchase costs. Under the proposal, the ranch might require members of the public to request permission to access the property. Cattle grazing could continue. Park High School in Livingston is forfeiting its 2019 football season due to a lack of upperclassmen to play on the varsity squad. The Livingston Enterprise reports the school is now looking to create a junior varsity schedule for the rest of the season. Park High had only four seniors out for football and had used some freshmen on the varsity team. Coach Nick Cote said the decision was based on player safety. Activities Director Regina Wood says the schools also consulted with Missoula Hellgate, which forfeited a varsity season due to low numbers and returned with a healthier program. It's been 2 years since chronic wasting disease was detected in Montana's deer herds, and in May, the disease popped up in the northwest corner of the state in Libby. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has a plan to manage the fatal disease based on its prevalence, a strategy born from more than 20 years of trial and error across the country. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton explains.
FWP has been holding a series of public meetings to educate the public about its management response in Libby after six deer tested positive.
And so our main objective is not to eradicate it. We're going to try to manage this disease the best of our ability, try to keep that prevalence low, typically below 5%.
At the Libby meeting, FWP's Neil Anderson said the agency doesn't yet know how prevalent CWD is in the area. So this fall, the agency plans to sample 400 deer to find out. To get that sample, FWP has issued 600 special whitetail licenses for a 10-mile radius around Libby and will also trap animals in town. Once FWP understands CWD's scope around Libby, it will choose a management strategy to keep prevalence below 5%. That could mean increasing hunter harvests, or specifically targeting bucks, which are three times more likely to carry the disease. All the options FWP is considering are focused on limiting spread by lowering deer density. But some questioned why the agency isn't attempting to eradicate the fatal disease from the area.
So Wisconsin, when they first found this disease, they tried to drive that prevalence down to as close to zero, and then hope that because of very low deer densities, it would kind of wink out on its own.
Tammy Ryan with Wisconsin's Bureau of Wildlife Management says this scorched earth approach began in 2002 with a litany of methods, even hired sharpshooters. Ryan says those efforts showed signs of working, but ended in 2007 due to public backlash.
After that many years of working outside of maybe the framework in which hunters were accustomed to, public support and patience kind of waned.
Wisconsin has been reluctant to reduce deer density since, and now has herds with prevalence rates over 50%, something most wildlife managers agree there's no coming back from. That's a fate Montana hopes to avoid. Another tale of caution is Wyoming, where CWD was discovered in the wild in 1985. Wyoming has never reduced deer numbers in infected herds. Like Wisconsin, it has herds with prevalence rates up to 50%. However, director of the nationally based Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance, Matt Dunphy, says both of these approaches were completely valid when CWD was first being widely detected in wild herds.
As that was happening, this sense of urgency rose really rapidly in the early 2000s. Because we managers were in a really tough situation. We were finding the disease, but we had no idea what to do about it.
Unlike viruses, which persist for a limited amount of time in herds and then disappear, CWD is caused by a misfolded protein called a prion. It spreads through animal-to-animal contact, and prions can persist for years in soil and vegetation contaminated by urine, feces, and carcasses. That leaves wildlife managers with few options. 27 states have now detected CWD in wild deer and elk populations. After years of experimental management strategies, Dunphy says game managers have learned that eradication may be a pipe dream. Scientists know that CWD spread takes off exponentially when prevalence hits about 20%. Dunphy says they are also beginning to understand the long-term impacts of high prevalence rates.
Things like the herd becomes younger. Older age class of animals just start to vanish, particularly older age male classes.
That's been a turning point for U.S. wildlife agencies, which are now attempting to keep CWD levels under 5 or 10%, a number most see as manageable. This is based on recommendations from the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. Wyoming and Colorado are both reworking their management plans based on these ideas. FWP disease ecologist Emily Almberg says that's also what Montana's plan is based on.
These are tools that we think we've got anecdotal or small amounts of evidence that they actually work, and we're trying to implement those on a much larger scale and figure out whether they're in fact making the differences we hope they are.
Almberg and others say it could be a decade or more before it's known how effective this new style of management may be. Management in Libby may be a good test once FWP understands prevalence in a year or so, and work being done near Billings and the northeast corner of the state could also prove valuable. As that work progresses, FWP is also trying to set up controlled studies with neighboring states and Canadian provinces to really assess its management practices. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.